So I'm representing a disease team based both in California and in Canada that's dedicated to the development of highly active leukemia stem cell therapy, abbreviated HALT, by analogy with highly active antiretroviral therapy. That is target-directed combination therapy to eliminate this chronic disease. I am the principal investigator of the California part of the grant, and my co-principal investigator is Catriona Jameson. The Toronto team is led by Dr. John Dick and co-principal investigator Jean Wang. There are four project leaders. Chronic lymphocytic leukemia, or CLL, which I'll talk mainly about, is led by Dr. Thomas Kipps, acting director of our cancer center. The acute myelogenous leukemia project is led by John Dick in Canada. The chronic myelogenous leukemia project by Katrina Jameson, and the acute lymphocytic leukemia project by Jane Danska. Obviously, I can't talk about all of this, so I'm going to focus on one aspect where I'm involved scientifically as well as administratively, and then present an overview. Now, the cancer stem cell hypothesis or hypotheses is really commonly referred to in what I call the strong version, which says that cancer arises from a small population of transformed cells in a bulk tumor, which must be destroyed to cure the disease. That is, that the majority of the cells within a tumor are not self-renewing, and the cancer really arose in a small population. There's another version, though, which takes a broader view of stem cell biology, which states that aggressive cancers acquire characteristics of stem cells which can be targeted therapeutically if we understand stem cell biology well. Now, among the leukemias, there are examples of both the strong and the weak version. In acute myelogenous leukemia and chronic myelogenous leukemia, a clear stem cell origin has been established. That's good. The myeloid stem cell is very well known. However, by contrast, in acute lymphocytic leukemia and chronic lymphocytic leukemia, the malignant cells have stem cell features, but there's not an obvious stem cell. But lymphocytes are self-renewing, and it's very difficult to determine what a stem cell origin would be. So we have examples in our team of both the weak and strong version, and I'll tell you how we're trying to utilize this. So according to, if it's a true stem cell origin, for our HALT therapy, the idea would be that there are cytotoxic drugs that kill the blast but don't eliminate the leukemic stem cell, which then regenerates. But if we gave a very targeted agent or monoclonal antibody against a small subpopulation, this, when combined with cytotoxic therapy, could lead to a prolonged remission. And the overall experimental plan for these types of experiments require the utilization of mouse models, because that's how the stem cell self-renewal property was established. However, we found in our own experiments that an equally important aspect of the animal model is to understand the microenvironmental effects, which applies both to the stem cells and also to the cells with stem-like properties. That is, the growth and survival factors provided by an animal which are not reproduced in tissue culture, which must be targeted in order to gain a disease remission. So just not going to explain what the Canadian group is doing, but John Dick, who discovered the leukemia stem cell in the early 90s, is focusing on really defining what actually is the AML, acute myelogenous leukemia stem cell, and has published in Nature Medicine this year a signature which defines the stem cell, which enables him now to pick up like a needle in a haystack and thus monitor the effects of both novel and conventional therapies. So rather than looking like elimination of bulk disease, use the molecular signature analogous to like a BCR-ABL and CML to see if the disease is in remittance. And that's what that group is focusing on. In Tom Kipps' group, which I'm also participating, we're working on the CLL, which is the most common leukemia in the Western world, more than 60,000 patients in the United States, and has a very paradoxical disease. It's incurable, indolent, and it was considered a disease of mature lymphocytes because the malignant cells have immunoglobulin gene rearrangements. And yet, when molecular probes came out, it became apparent that they have high-level expression of genes associated with pro-B cells, very primitive B cells. And this suggested that either altered differentiation or reprogramming is involved in this cancer, and it really makes it a paradigm for understanding the role of aberrant differentiation or reprogramming cancer in general. And the most prominent genes that have been found in CLL, for example, are the genes associated with the Wnt pathway. We'll talk about ROR1, also Wnt16. The cells have very high levels of aldehyde dehydrogenase, which is used as a stem cell marker, and recently reported 10% have activating NOTCH1 mutations, even though they look like mature B cells. And actually, this is an example of a measurement of aldehyde dehydrogenase, ALDH, by simple FACS assay in patients, and it can actually be used even to diagnose CLL and to distinguish between the indolent cases, the aggressive cases, and normal B cells. Very simple assay. So these cells, they look mature, but they actually aren't. And the CLL lymphocytes, again, express very high levels of embryonic Wnts. The most prominent of these is Wnt16, which is really absent in mature B cells, but found in acute lymphocytic leukemia and in chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Originally, we wanted to target that with a monoclonal, but because the protein is secreted and then binds to the surface, it was not a good target. But during the course of doing therapy on patients with chronic lymphocytic leukemia, Dr. Kipps noted the development of an autoantibody in one of the patients who actually went into a remission and identified the antigen, and the antigen turned out to be a frizzled-like receptor, another embryonic antigen. So ROR1 is an embryonic tyrosine kinase-like molecule, although it hasn't been proven to be a tyrosine kinase, with very high-level expression in fetal brain, some blood cell precursors. It's not expressed in adult tissues, but it's very highly expressed in CLA, and Wnt5a is a binding ligand. This is an example of a Western blot showing the expression of this antigen in CLL cells, shown on the top. You can see very high-level expression as compared to all normal tissues. So when you get an antigen like this, it's not like giving an anti-CD20 as a tissue-specific. It seems to be a carcinoembryonic antigen associated with the underlying disease. And recently, Hudacek et al. reproduced these data, again showing at the RNA level, very high-level expression in BCLL, not in other lymphocyte subsets, and again, except for a little bit of adipose tissue, no RNA in the adult. So it was extremely difficult at first to make monoclonals against the ROR1, but Dr. Kipps, because he saw the autoantibody, felt that it would be possible, and after a lot of manipulation, several monoclonals have been generated. The human and murine ROR1 proteins are highly conserved, which is one of the problems that initially hindered the antibody development and required special technology. You see the number of different amino acid residues, and the domain is very small, and it's a very cysteine-rich protein, so recombinant bacterial expressed protein that doesn't fold correctly. But with the help of the CIRM grant, we have generated three very high affinity monoclonal antibodies with KDs ranging from 1.7 nanomolar to 40 nanomolar. And all of these are being evaluated at different stages for clinical development. Because the Chronic Lymphocytic Leukemia Research Consortium in the United States is based at UCSD, we have access to a very, very large number of samples. And this is just a small, we actually have thousands of 800 CLL samples showing the expression of the carcinoembryonic ROR1 antigen. And as you can see, it certainly varies among patients, but there's a large number of patients in whom all the cells have the antigen. So far, two of the antibodies have been evaluated, thank you, in vitro and in vivo. And one of them, can trigger cell-dependent toxicity. It's immunological destruction of the CLL cells on top and of a cell line, mantle cell lymphoma on the bottom. Mantle cell lymphoma also expresses this embryonic antigen. Another incurable malignancy. Now, the chronic lymphocytic leukemia cells, I explained, they're not true stem cells, and they don't self-renew in vivo, but they can be parked in the perineal cavity of either Nod-Skid mice or Rag-gamma knockout mice and persist for a couple of weeks. And then these animals can be treated with different doses and routes of monoclonal antibodies or with drugs. And as shown in both the Nod-Skid model and the Rag model, since this one antibody with the asterisk was quite effective at clearing the cells from the perineum and actually showed some dose responsiveness in the Rag-gamma knockout. So for a monoclonal antibody, this is really the point at which you have to move to development. The antigen is very, very specific. It's stem-like. And it does not present on normal tissues, but you never know until you actually do your monkey tox. So the current status is the humanization of the antibodies. The first two is almost complete. The third one, the most high affinity one, is just starting. Producing cell lines are in progress with help of consultants. Preclinical farm tox studies are planned beginning in 2012. For an IND submission by the fourth year of the grant. And I should also mention that this antigen appears on solid tumors, not in as consistent a form, but among a large number. Now, there's one other aspect that which is a part of our whole, very important part of our whole program I want to talk about, and that is the fact that the use of the animals to park the malignant cells enable us to study microenvironmental effects. And I don't think there's a single targeted agent that has ever cured a cancer. And one of the reasons is because stromal cells, or we call nurse-like cells, and other blood vessels, etc., provide growth and survival factors that inhibit apoptotic and other mechanisms in the cancer, so that even if you have a targeted agent, it will debulk but not fully cure. So we feel that another important part of our study is both at the AML and the CLL level to determine how these microenvironmental effects could interact with monoclonal antibodies or with drugs, and to dissect that using genomics and proteomics. Dr. Trina Jameson leads us part of the grant, and here's an example of really, I think, very compelling work done first in CML, where we actually know it's caused by a single mutation, but it's an incurable, still incurable disease, believe it or not, despite the aspect of BCR-ABL inhibitors. And you can see here where Dr. Ameson has shown that a BCR-ABL inhibitor, dasatinib, can eliminate self-renewing cells in the liver and spleen, but not in the bone marrow. But if you combine the dasatinib with, in this case, a JAK inhibitor, which mediates cytokine effects, and cytokines are very important proteins produced by the microenvironment, self-renewal is completely eliminated. And we need to do the same kind of analysis, whether it be for JAK2 or PI3 kinase or other pathways, to determine what are the microenvironmental survival factors that might impede the success of our targeted agent. So in summary, I explained very briefly, part of what we're doing is a lot more. CLL cells express oncofetal antigens related to the Wnt pathway. We think that the monoclonal antibodies against ROR1, untreated or perhaps drug conjugated, will have potential for very selective treatment of CLL, although this remains to be seen in the tox studies. And I think one thing for this group in general, basic investigations of stem cell biology may reveal other targets for anti-cancer drug and monoclonal antibody development, that all cancers have stem cell-like features. However, we believe that stem cell-targeted agents may need to be combined with drugs that block the pro-survival niche effects in bone marrow and other sites. And I'm here as a representative of a large team, just showing the different agencies here and the support that we receive for them, and especially I'm grateful to CIRM.